it doesn't pick up you. And I think, I look back, and I'm listening back, I say, man, that was really, like, funny. How come they're not laughing at me, and they laugh at her? So it's just a little bit of my own insecurity, and not really. This morning we're going to talk about the power of persistent faith. Is it okay? Am I echoey? So, this is the first message of 2018, and I'm going to speak on faith today. How many of you know that faith is important? Faith is very important, and I have decided on it. But what is faith anyways? You know, like, what, like, really, what is it? My prayer is that the message this morning, like every message every week, will actually apply to you where you're at, and it'll apply to us as the Gateway family moving forward, right? Because, like, why do we do what we do unless it's going to move us forward into a better place, a deeper place, a richer place with the Lord? Amen. And so I had a wonderful Christmas season. It's the weather is broken today, and so what will happen is we will start to get a lot of snow now because it's warming up. But man, was it cold. Wasn't it cold? Oh my goodness, but warm in heart. So how's your faith this morning? Is your faith strong? Are you going back to Peterborough today? Yeah. Bless you, girl. Thank you for coming and being part of worship and just everything over your break. That's Jenna, who I'm talking to. And so how's your faith this morning? What did I miss?
I took a shower. Now I went to water, it wasn't cold.
Really? That's not that spiritual.
Oh, I guess it is. But you know what? I've talked to two people already. Water froze.
I know. How many of you, your water froze this week? Anyone? We all live in the city. So how's your faith this morning going into 2018? How's your faith over here? Their expectations? Is it just kind of you're thankful you got over Christmas and you took all your decorations down? Or like, what's our faith? Like who are we as a people? Like, what's happening here? Like, you know, does anyone have a sense of that God is going to do something incredible, breakthrough, and, you know? And so allow me to give you some practical little steps, you know, because sometimes when we talk about faith, we make it so mystical. We make it so out there that, you know, people think you're weird or something, and it's like, you know, faith, it's this weird thing. But really, faith is very, very practical. And it's mystical too, but it's very practical. So allow me to give you a couple of examples. Did you ever, when you go into a restaurant and you, we apply faith when we make our order. We have faith that the kitchen staff, totally invisible to our eyes, will prepare the food properly, using healthy ingredients and following healthy, huge hygiene standards. Would you agree? Correct? Well, it takes faith to do that, doesn't it? You know, when we board an airplane, we have faith that the plane will get off the ground despite the fact that it weighs thousands of pounds. Have you ever sat on the airplane before it's taking off and saying, how does this thing get off the ground? And there's faith there. And you hope that the pilot is adequate and that the tanks are full and the co-pilot and pilot have been trained in doing the right thing, correct? So how much faith does it take to have in these two practical situations that I gave? Well, it takes a lot of faith. And we actually place our faith in somebody else's hands. And how many of you have ever had surgery? Here, how many of you have ever had surgery? And over there. And, well, there's another good example. We submit to a surgeon's knife, right? Now, does that take an element of practical faith to do that? We submit ourselves to. So that's a lot of faith, wouldn't you agree? That's a lot of faith. And the truth is, we apply faith each and every day to many, many, many situations. And then Jesus comes along and says, have faith in God. And some people balk at that. Right? And some people, they just balk at that. Even some Christians balk at that. Yes, I'm scratching my head. Faith in God? Oh my goodness, that is outrageous. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, faith in God? You're outrageous, man. But why is it outrageous? People put their faith in objects and in other people every day. Why should it be difficult to put faith in the Creator and our Savior? Amen? Why is it so difficult to put faith in a God that can heal? Why is it impossible sometimes, and why is it that we balk and we believe that God can't do what God says he's going to do? And if there's any of that in this house this morning, I just want to break it off. Because you know what? I'm not an idiot, okay? And I don't follow a calendar thing where it's the first month of the year and I'm going to pump up all the congregation and say, 2018 is going to be the best year, and give you all this motivational speaking. We have been in prayer, man, for a year and a half. Okay? And there's an expectation in the heart, in our hearts, that the prodigals are going to come home. There's a faith that is stirred up within me. And that's a good thing for you. It's just one of your pastors walks in faith and leads by example in prayer. I know, I said one of your pastors. So what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, the Bible defines faith like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a confident assurance. It's a confident assurance. How many of you here this morning, you just need to have a confident assurance within your spirit? Your default tends to swing very negative, and it makes you take your eyes off of God. Okay, anybody? And how many of you need to have a confident assurance? Because faith, my friends, is our title deed. Okay, what is a title deed? What is a title deed? It's when you pay off your mortgage, they give you a title deed. Okay? And Jesus paid off the mortgage. And so you have a title deed now. And faith is our title deed to everything that God has done and has provided for us. And we need to walk in that. Amen? And sometimes we treat faith as if it was something fragile. I was going to bring an egg here this morning. I was hoping you were here, Kevin, because sometimes we think of it as fragile like an egg, and I was going to pretend like I was tossing it at you, you know, but I forgot it at home. And sometimes we treat it so fragile as if it's, but faith is like a muscle. Ask any weightlifter. It needs to be like it's a dumbbell, and any weightlifter knows that muscles actually build up when you break them down by using them. Amen? And sometimes, some of you even here, you treat faith like it's so delicate. Like, you know, like you're so fragile. It's like, you know, like any little boo, and there's going to be, and the egg is going to crack. And yet the Scripture says that faith isn't like that at all. Faith is like a weightlifter. It's building muscle. It's active. It's going somewhere. Ask any weightlifter, you know. And so in the same way, faith is something that you need to put to work. And sometimes people, they wait before they I don't know what you I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't necessarily mean you, but I don't know what you're waiting for. It seems like Christians and they're always waiting for something. And yet the scripture doesn't say that. It says that faith needs to be put to work. It needs to be put to work. Faith implies movement. Okay? So sometimes we pray this prayer, and I've prayed it myself, and really it's actually not even that scriptural. We pray, oh Lord, come into the house, show up, Lord. We pray that you will show up. Well then, doesn't the scripture say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so that's one temple of the Holy Spirit, two temples of the Holy Spirit, three. I don't know how many there are. So how many of you would say that the presence of God is in the house if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen? Amen? So isn't that good? So then why do we pray these prayers? Oh, Lord, if you would have mercy on us, would you just show up in this place? Hello, you're here. Thank you, Lord. Maybe it's better that maybe we just start off praying and say, Lord, we recognize that you're here. Now help us to recognize you stronger. Okay? Give us the faith. Give us the faith to walk in our title deed. Okay? So because you know what? It's paid for. Amen. Let us help to walk in that. So that is the faith that saves us. That is the faith that grows us. That is the faith that sustains us. That is the faith that no matter what circumstance comes your way, you stand on this faith because it is something that's a movement. It's not something that as soon as you hear some bad news or you retreat and you only have faith when you feel like dancing and it's joyful. But you have faith no matter what the circumstance is. And we are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it is by grace, amen? It is by grace that you have been saved. And it is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that you can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Can you say that with me? We are God's handiwork. Okay? Now, you know what? When you leave this place and something happens, don't take that back. Okay? No matter whether the situation is good or the situation is bad, you're still His handiwork. Okay? So just continue to recognize. And then it says here, it says, create it. Create it. Okay? You were created in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. Created in Christ Jesus. Put the little bit of emphasis on it like I did. In Christ Jesus. Okay? To do good works. Okay? So that's faith. It says so right there. To do good works, which God has prepared for us to do. So as we walk in faith, we don't get salvation by doing good works, but we were created in His image to do good works. Amen? So faith is very active. It could be aggressive, it could be lots of things. So in other words, if you have real faith, there will be evidence of that faith in your life. Right? So the thing is, you could tell me over in this section over here that you have faith, and I don't know if you do or you don't just because you told me. But I know if you have faith by the actions that you produce, right? So that's how we would recognize. We would say, well, you know what? Dave Humphreys is a man of great faith. Well, how do you know that, right? Well, you just had to hear his heart for his mother this morning, okay? You just had to hear Alfredo's heart when he spoke of his mother. He came in my office today and to hear right away coming into the house and saying, pray. Can you pray? Can you pray? It's faith. So then I look, I say, man of faith, right? So God is good. So in other words, if you have real faith, there will be evidence of faith within your life. And yes, God is the one who does the work, but He chooses to accomplish the work primarily through human beings. So why not you? We're always worried. We're always looking for that star. Okay, it's like in sports, you know, like our guy now is, and don't, our guy is if Toronto Maple Leafs fans, right?
Yeah.
Our guy is not Connor McDavid. Our guy is Austin Matthews. Okay, but I'm just saying, why are we always looking for the superstar in our Western culture? Who is going to do it? Okay? He's going to work through us as much as he is going to work through anybody else. So why do we have... We are Christians. We are born-again Christians. Why are we sometimes so starstruck by the big ministry that they're going to do it? No, you're going to do it. Whether it's touching someone at the checkout, it doesn't matter what it is. Okay, the Lord's going to take every quality, every character trait, anything that you say, use me, Lord, he's going to take and he's going to say, okay, that's great. And he's going to set up scenarios for you. And you know what the thing is? I might get joy from preaching to all of you on a Sunday morning, and you might get joy from greeting someone in the parking lot as you're leaving, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. Okay? It's just that he will use you. So, for instance, the Lord could have caused the Red Sea to part for the Israelites, right? Just like that. Right? Just like that. He could have done it. He's God. He's sovereign. Could have done it. But what he did was he chose Moses to stretch out his staff over the water, and God chose to make Moses an integral part of what he was doing. He told Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hand, And we know the story. God could have done that, folks. God could do a lot of things because he is sovereign, but he constantly chooses you. If your heart is open to him, he will set up scenarios and he will use you. Now, maybe you're not going to be like Moses. Maybe you will be. Okay, we don't limit God, but you know what? Maybe you're going to go home and you're going to find a staff at your door, and maybe he's going to ask you to part Lake Nipissing. I don't know. But he has something for you. Amen? And 2018, if there's a word that he is going to expedite things, then he needs people in the house to believe that he's going to expedite things so that your heart is open so that he could do things through you. Like, that is not rocket science, folks. Okay, it's just faith. Jesus could have instantly healed every person who was alive and walked on the earth when he was here, right? Could have just went by, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. Some people say, why didn't he? Well, I don't know that. You can talk to him when you get there. Okay? But absolutely in a heartbeat, he could have done it. He could have simply said, be healed. And everyone, everywhere. But what we find him doing is this. It was primarily those who reached out to him and received his healing touch that were healed, right? The Bible has a lot to say about faith, folks. The bottom line is that in Matthew 15 and 28, Jesus said to the woman in the story, O woman, great is your faith. The Greek word that he used for this is translated exceedingly. It's translated greatest. It is translated high, large, loud, mighty. So this is what he was saying to this woman. Now, as I unfold this story a little bit, you're going to be amazed about this story because Jesus was clearly an expert on the topic of healing, wouldn't you say? And topic of faith. So he was saying to this pagan woman. That's what the story is. He was saying to this pagan woman, your faith is amazing to me. So that's basically what he was saying. So he comes into the house. Jesus walks through the door right now, and he stops right by you, Pauline, and he says, woman, your faith is amazing to me. And I'm telling you right now, that's what he wants to say if you would receive it. He wants to come into this section right here, and he says, every one of you people, your faith is amazing to me. Okay? I don't know about you, but I want my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, to say that to me, don't you? I want him to come in here and say, Ken, you know what, man, I don't know why Linda ever married you. But he says, but you know what? Your faith is amazing to me. So he was the expert on the scripture. And as a result of this, he says, it was a great faith. As a result, her faith was enshrined. Listen to this. Her faith was enshrined in the scriptures that will last forever. So this story of this pagan woman who had a heart to have their child healed, demon-possessed child healed, comes to Jesus, and now this person's story, this person's faith is enshrined in scriptures. You know what? He wanted his disciples, including you and I, to always remember her example. That's what it is. All these stories in the scripture, they're examples for you to remember, to emulate, to get into your spirit, to help you walk closer with the Lord. So here is how Matthew records this remarkable story in Matthew's Gospel 15, verses 20 to 28. He says, then Jesus went out and departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and the woman of Canaan came from that region, and she cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And it says in the scripture, he didn't say one word to her. Okay, so here we have our Lord Jesus, this woman crying out to him, and he didn't say a word. He just kind of looked at her. And the disciples came and they urged him, saying, send her away. Send her away, for she cries out after us. And then she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. That's what she says in the scripture. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great of faith, great is your faith. Let it be done as you desire. And her daughter was healed in that very hour. So let's consider who this woman and where she was from. Who was she? Well, in verse 22, it says that she was a woman of Canaan. The people who lived in Canaan, the Canaanites, were bitter enemies of Israel. And she was a Gentile. She was a non-Jew. So picture the scene. Here is Jesus with the momentum building after in his ministry. He had just performed the greatest miracle that probably some people would think, feeding the 5,000 people. And, you know, so the ministry is growing and everything. And then suddenly he leaves the country. He leaves the country. And Jesus leads his men to an area about 25 to 50 miles away. And apparently because he had an appointment to meet this Canaanite woman with a demon-possessed daughter. That's our God, man, okay? That's our God. If you think for one second that he is more, that he likes me or he likes someone else more than you. Oh man, our God will come 50 miles for you in a second. And the scripture says, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely, and Jesus ignored her plea. But he already knew what the woman's faith was, that she would not give up easily. See, you need to know this in this story. He didn't say anything to her, but why? Because he knew that she would not give up easily. Do you give up easily? He knew. We need to know this from this story. She did not give up easily. She was a non-Jew. She was hated by the Jews. She was a Canaanite. She came, said, Lord, have mercy on me. So why was he delaying in giving her the answer? Well, it might have been an example that he wanted to provide for his own disciples, maybe, you know? Because I don't think they were really kind of getting it. Peter, you know, he's probably saying to himself, Peter, are you paying attention to this right now? Peter, are you getting this right now? Are you paying attention to this? Watch what this woman does. Watch how nothing discourages or deters her. Amen? Or maybe it is for you this morning, this story. Watch what this woman does. Okay? Maybe you've been a little bit discouraged, or maybe you have a little bit of doubt. Watch what this woman does. She didn't give up. Nothing deterred her. Look at all the obstacles. We have so much freedom here. We're born again believers. We have a direct line right to the Lord. So she had to have, look at all the obstacles she had. Demon-possessed daughter, hated by the Jews, everything like this. But she knew what she knew. And the Lord knew that too. And it was an example for his disciples in those days because they didn't really get it. And unfortunately, some people today don't get it. When they read this story, it's an example for us. Don't give up. Okay? Press in. Press in. Expect signs and wonders and a move of God within your heart. Okay? Expect when you get up in the morning to have a skip in your jump and a walk. You know, to have a song. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Pick your own song. That's mine. Wait. Bless the Lord. The disciples, they had misinterpreted what Jesus was doing. And in verse 23, Jesus said to them, they said to him, tell her to go away. She is bothering us with all her begging. Lord, forgive us if that's ever our attitude. Oh, Lord, just send that person away. They're just bothering us, you know. Lord, shut those kids up because they're bothering Pastor Ken. No, they're not. You're bothering me by saying that. You know what? After 17 years, you can say a few things. I don't know who it was. I think it was Melissa said, or no, it was Randy. He says, man, you give so much sugar. Once in a while, you give a bit of vinegar. You're allowed. Am I allowed? Okay. How many of you sometimes need it? Okay, if you're honest, you know, how many of you just need a little, you know, not to hurt you? So have you ever had a time when you prayed about something and there was no answer from heaven? Maybe you find yourself in that situation now. You've been praying, perhaps even with tears. So why does God not always answer? Okay, well, let me tell you something. There's probably a lot of reasons, but I just have three reasons here. And a spiritual battle may be raging that you know nothing about. Right? So just hear me for a second. The Bible teaches that there is a supernatural realm functioning right alongside the natural realm that we perceive with our five senses. Right? And that wall that separates us from the supernatural world is very, very thin. And in this unseen spiritual realm, there are events and activities and warfare that we often know nothing or very little about. Okay, the second reason why maybe answers aren't prayer, and some of you are not going to like this, but you know what? Again, I don't care. Your prayer may not be answered because of unconfessed sin within your life. Unconfessed sin within your life. Okay, now his father, when he preached, and his grandfather, they was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and he'd say, you know what? There is sin in the house. You need to get rid of the sin. I'm more gentle. But, you know, sometimes we don't hear from God because maybe there's unconfessed sin. And then thirdly, maybe we don't hear from God is because there is an idol in your life that you need to deal with. An idol. So what's an idol? We think of the Bible, we think of idols. Well, if you have idols in your heart, God may refuse to listen to your prayer. So what's an idol? Well, it's this. It's any person. It's any place. It's anything. It's any activity in your life that has been placed before your relationship before God. So how many are guilty as charged? Be honest. Okay, and that's what it is. So then what will happen is I meet people and they say, well, God never hears my prayer. God doesn't do. And then I'll say, well, is there any sin in your life? Oh, I don't want to hear that. Is there any idols? Oh, I don't want to hear that. They get mad at you. They bolt. They run out of the place. They go around town. Oh, that pastor, he, like this. Deal with it, folks. Because what happens is faith wants to be active in your life because he wants you to part whatever Red Sea there is to be parted, whatever that looks like for your life. So is there something or someone that is more important right now, an idea, a philosophy, a habit, an occupation, a sport, whatever, than God himself? I ask that question every day to myself. Anything that decreases your trust in God and your loyalty to him can potentially become an idol in your life and keep your prayers from being answered. Amen? Amen? So what did Jesus do? He drew her out. He drew her out. Why wasn't this woman's prayer answered immediately? Jesus wanted to draw her out and keep her praying. That's one of the most important things I'll say this morning. Jesus wanted to draw her out and keep her praying. He did not put up boundaries or barriers to keep her away. What he did was but to draw her closer. And sometimes he's going to put up some barriers in your life, not because he's pushing you away, but he's trying to draw you closer. And these are important. When you read this scripture again, it's important that you get this. He knew she would rise to the occasion. Does he know this morning that you will rise to the occasion? Even if there are barriers right before you, he wants us in 2018 to rise to the occasion. He wants you over here to rise to the occasion. He wants you over here to rise to the occasion and you over there to rise to the occasion. Right? He does. He wants you to. Because he wants to use you. He wants you to use the title deed so that he could work through you so people's lives can be changed. So stop sitting and thinking about your life receiving and all the changes you want. He wants to use you to change someone's life. He wants you to speak blessings into somebody's life. Okay? If you are someone who has a critical spirit, he wants you to get rid of that. If you are the type of person who just complains, you're going to have a conversation with me, and then you're going to go and meet her, and you're just, do you know what he did? Like this. He wants you to get over it, because you know what? He wants you to speak blessings into my life. He wants you to speak blessings into her life. Faith. It's a no-brainer. It's practical. Yes, it's mystical because what happens is our eyes have been opened to his glory. But it's very practical, isn't it? So he wants us to rise to the occasion. So what then do we learn from this story? Well, in John's Gospel 6:37, it says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Amen. And the reason Jesus gave this woman everything she asked for was because she got her will in alignment with his. That's what happened. That's what this story is, okay? She got her will in alignment with his. And then heaven opened up over the situation and the... And so I've prayed for people for healing when my will was not in alignment with God. And I've asked for forgiveness for that. And sometimes we do that. Well, Janine needs prayer, so everyone gather around. So we lay hands on them. But there might be those who are laying hands on her whose will is not in alignment with God. So let's rise to the occasion. Amen. Would you agree that this is a good vision to carry in through it in 2018? Amen. So rise up. Okay? Rise up in faith and don't back down. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you, Father. Amen. And you know what? One last thing. I don't preach these messages hoping that you're going to like it. I preach these messages with an expectation that you will rise up. So I'm not here begging you to get more holy. I'm expecting you to. Amen.